I'm not going to ask you whether or not you see yourself as normal. That's probably a pretty private conversation some of us want to have. But nevertheless, normal is a word that we encounter all the time. It's a very common word. Even when you want to send an email, you encounter this word normal. It's there everywhere we turn. The Oxford Dictionary defines normal as conforming to a standard, usual, typical, or expected. It's a measurement classification, if you will. This is normal, and this is not. And so, for example, during the recent bushfire crisis, we often heard that the fires which ravished Australia were not normal. Of course, Australia has always experienced bushfires, but this year people spoke of never having seen anything like this before. This, they said, wasn't normal. Another context where we often encounter this word normal is when we go to the doctor. We go because we're maybe not feeling well. And so the doctor checks our blood pressure, our temperature, our heart rate, maybe takes some other tests. And then she looks at us with a worried look, saying, "Your blood pressure is not normal. It's really high." Yes, knowing what is normal can be very helpful. It can help us understand what to expect out of a particular situation. It can stop us from being unrealistic about a situation. Interestingly, as you read through the Bible, this idea of normal comes into play there also. Emerging out of its pages is a picture of God's idea of normal. That's certainly what we see in Jesus. He came walking into this world, our world that has simply accepted sin and its impact as some kind of normal. That's what it's like. And as Jesus forgave, healed, restored, and as he revealed the life God made for us to enjoy, he was constantly saying, "That's not normal. This is normal. This is what normal looks like." And he invites us. This is the glorious good news of Jesus. He invites us into God's normal. We see this, for example, in John chapter 7. Let me read for you from John chapter 7, the first 37. "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." Jesus, when he said this, was at the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles was one of the many Jewish celebrations. This one happened at harvest time. And was kind of a fun festival. You know how Christmas is fun? Well, this, I think, is probably one of the just funnest. That's not really an English word if you're struggling with my English. But anyway, it's just one of the funnest of all the Jewish celebrations. It went on for 7 days. And what everyone did was went and camp in their backyard. And Jews today still do it. They go for 7 days and live in these little decorated tents outside made of bushes and stuff, because not only was it a celebration of harvest, but it was a celebration, a reminder of the 40 years where their ancient ancestors travelled in the wilderness. This was a celebration of God's presence and provision as the giver and sustainer of life, not only in their past, but also in their present. But the festival also had a prophetic element to it, because it looked forward. It not only looked back, it not only celebrated the present, but it also looked forward to that day spoken of by the ancient prophets, whom God's Spirit would be poured out at the coming of the kingdom of God. And so we find Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem on the last day of the feast. A feature of the feast was the daily pouring out of water at the altar. Now, water in this context was a symbol of God's presence, of his life and blessing. And as the priests poured out the water, they would recite from Isaiah, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I mean, how much fun can a religious festival be? Not only can you camp in the backyard, but it also involves a water fight. I mean, this is just incredible. I don't know if you were here in Brisbane during the 10-year drought, but back then, we just accepted water restrictions as normal. Kerry and I had not long built a new house, and we had installed an irrigation system in our garden, and it was going great. And about 2 months after we had the thing going, irrigation systems in our yards became illegal. You weren't allowed to use them because of the water restrictions. And Brisbane City Council issued every household with a little 4-minute egg timer to put in the shower. And you turn the water on and you had to flick the egg timer on and quickly have a wash. And like, showers for me are luxury. The concept of a 4-minute shower, that was a challenge. And we used to put a bucket in the shower with us to catch the water, so you would have some water to water the plants. You weren't allowed to wash your car with a hose. It was really difficult. Yes, we didn't take water for granted. We knew if we ran out of water, we just simply would not be able to live. And it must have been like that for God's people as they travelled through the wilderness. It must have been like that for the people at the Feast of Tabernacles. They too knew water should not be taken for granted. They knew, we all know, water is life. And so, can you picture it? At that moment, the scriptures tell us, when the water is being poured out, Jesus stands up and says with a loud voice. He didn't just whisper it. He didn't want just a couple of people to hear it. No. He said it with a loud voice. He wanted everyone to hear this. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, out of them will flow rivers of living water. This life characterized by hunger and thirst, spiritual hunger and thirst, psychological hunger and thirst, is not normal. This life impacted by death is not normal. What is normal is God with us, God in us, God sustaining us, God in us like a living river of water flowing out of us. In many ways, this picture takes us back to the Garden of Eden. What was there? What was in the Garden of Eden? God was present. There was abundance. There was life. And notice also here in John how the Bible explains this reality is experienced. Verse 39. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But we live in the historical reality that Jesus Christ, eternal God, the Son of God, died and rose again, and he has been ascended to heaven. He has been glorified and he has poured out his Spirit. And so when we repent and believe in Jesus, something truly miraculous happens. The eternal Creator God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit comes and lives in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. As the Apostle Paul put it, we are a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You know how you feel full when you've eaten too much? My crazy mind sometimes goes, wow, I've got the immeasurable God living in me. That's pretty full. That's a picture I just can't get my head around. We are a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Can I say to you, this is God's idea of normal. I suspect that is what A.W. Tozer meant when he wrote, "The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people." You know what a special deluxe edition is? I like books. I don't have any what I'd call really, 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 really expensive books. But the idea of, Kerry showed me a picture the other day of one of the oldest libraries, if not the oldest library in the world, in the Czech Republic, and I want to go there. These books are just priceless, beautiful, special deluxe editions. I mean, a special deluxe edition of a PS4 game. You know what that is. You understand that concept, don't you? For you who don't actually read books and have no concept of what a book is. Yeah, because, you know, I don't want just the ordinary PS4 game of, tell me a game quickly, Edward. Sorry? I didn't even understand it. Oh, Call of Duty. Oh, yeah, Call of Duty. Yeah, you don't want just an ordinary game, you know, the ordinary run-of-the-mill Call of Duty. You want the special deluxe version. Next week I'm preaching on the evils of PS4 games. So, yeah, exactly. Where was I? See, special deluxe editions carry with it this idea. It has something more. It's more expensive, but it's worth it. Oh, not everyone can afford it. It's better. And of course, I'm special because I've got one. The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe version of Christianity. It is normal. It is God's plan for his people, for every one of us who have believed in Jesus. Oh, we need to grasp this. To be Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God with us, God in us. That's normal. Moses, in the Old Testament, the one who God called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and across the wilderness into the promised land, he understood something of this. Because there was a point where Moses was struggling with the enormity of the task and the fact that he knew this, what God was calling him to, was totally beyond him. And God reassures Moses and he says, look, my presence will go with you. What Moses says next fascinates me. Exodus chapter 33, verse 15. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Can I say I've prayed that several times in the property development? If you don't go with us in this, God, shut it down right now. I understand Moses here. And then he goes on. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? What else will distinguish us? What is Moses saying? Without your presence, God, we are just like everyone else. We're just like everyone else. What makes us different? God with us. That is our normal. As the people of God, that is our normal. God with us. Normal is living in the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit welling up within us. It is ministering in the power of the Spirit to a lost and broken world. Friends, don't fall into the trap of accepting some inferior definition of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and call it normal. But here is our reality. Living in the fullness of the Spirit might be normal, but it isn't always our normal experience. And interestingly, it's always been like that as you read through the Bible. Yes, normal is living in the Spirit, but that's not always our normal experience. And so, for example, we see in Acts, the early church, having experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and powerfully proclaiming the name of Jesus, coming back to God and asking him for boldness and power. We see the Apostle Paul in Galatians reminding the believers of how the Holy Spirit has been powerfully at work in their lives and then goes on to encourage them to keep on being filled with the Spirit. And again, we see Paul to the Ephesian Christians, those whom he reminds have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, praying for them that they may be strengthened with power through his Spirit. As D.L. Moody put it, we are leaky vessels and have to keep under the tap all the time. That's the reality of living in the experience of God with us. We're leaky vessels, and therefore we have to keep under the tap all the time. Yes, can I suggest, can I encourage you? God's idea of normal is living in the Spirit, of enjoying his presence with us, in us. And to that end, we therefore need to keep praying, keep living, keep walking in Christ, that we might bring glory to God. So for the next few moments, I want to invite you to pray. I want you to pray for each other. Maybe you want to get together two or three. Maybe you want to get up and go and pray with someone you've been talking to or ask someone to pray for you. We've got time. The afternoon tea will keep and it'll be still there. It's okay. But I just want to give us some time right now just to pray. You might like to pray for yourself, by yourself. But I want to encourage and invite us to pray in the spirit that we in the understanding that we read of here in Acts and Ephesians and Galatians. Yes, this is normal, but I need God, the Holy Spirit, to work in my life. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Empower me, touch me. Heal me, restore me. I don't know what it is, but let's take time. Let's put ourselves in a place where we actually submissively bring ourselves to God to ask for a work of His Spirit, where we actually acknowledge, okay, God, I'm not willing to accept some inferior definition of normal. When I look at my life, I need a work of the Spirit in my life. Come, Holy Spirit. So let's take some time. The next few moments, and Danielle and the team will come back in a little while and sing a song. And if you still want to continue praying, that's fine. But let's take our time here and pray for one another.